Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 683, Needs More Storage, recorded live on May 23rd, 2019. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And tonight, we do not have the guest that I said we would try to get last week, because I'm still waiting to hear back from a couple of folks that I've reached out to. So we're taking this week to go through some of the community updates. We try to condense those into a monthly update now, instead of doing them weekly, as the community does their updates. So we decided to do it just in all one bunch tonight and go ahead and get it out of the way, because next week we're doing our Bad Blood book podcast.
Yay,
another one down.
Three books in 1 year. Well, two and a quarter, actually, right?
So at least two.
I know you've read two full and books, and I think you finished.
So I was in the middle of Thursday War when I started this year. So I finished Thursday War, and then I did Mortal Dictata.
Okay.
And then I'll finish Bad Blood this weekend.
Two and a half books, or two and a quarter books, wherever.
Not quite a book a month, but at least it's progress compared to last year.
Yeah, compared to last year, which was no zero.
So, hey, progress is progress. So there you go. All right, a little housekeeping for us to take care of. We had our streams from the past week, starting with GT's Fraggin Friday. So how did we do on Friday, GT?
Oh, we did great. Had a lot of fun. Played Warzone Assault. Had a lot of fun in there. Actually doing pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, I think. Yeah, we tried some regular BTB, but the sweaties were in there, so we went to Big Team Super Fiesta.
And the sweaties are going to be in there tomorrow, too.
Yeah, probably going to stay away from Big Team. Well, at least regular Big Team. Super Fiesta is always fun, so even with the sweaties.
Yeah, because it's Fiesta.
Mm-hmm.
I might jump in tomorrow just because of the grassroots skin, just to try. I don't think you have to win. You just have to be matched up against them, like the Ice Unicorn skin for the 343 streams.
Yeah, I will probably be spending quality time with my pickup truck.
Still working on that?
Oh, yeah, I still got probably another week of work to do to it.
Okay.
I still don't have all the parts because I won out of money already. I haven't even got paid yet, and I run out of money.
Well, there.
Isn't that fun?
It's got to be done, right? Yeah.
Well, the problem is I'm having to divert funds to fix my wife's air conditioner. That's more important.
I think that's probably an important thing to have.
Yeah.
So, okay. Very nice. And what's the plan for tomorrow's Fraggin' Friday?
Currently, the plan is Halo 5.
Sounds good.
Unless the community states otherwise.
I think the community's been pretty content with doing Halo 5 for the past few weeks.
And don't get me wrong, MCC is fun. But without a good custom game support,
it's hard.
Doesn't take long before it gets old.
Right. It's difficult to get those lobbies going.
Yeah, there's just not that much variety. I mean, yeah, when you start talking about larger groups, you know, when you have a small group, four people, yeah, you've got lots of choices. You can bounce all over the place. But once you get, you know, over four people, you're limited to either Infection or Big Team. So that does limit the possibilities.
Yes, very much so. It is something that they're, at least they've said they want to fix, but with all the focus on MCC on PC and Reach, obviously that's kind of being slow rolled right now.
Well, the file share thing is something that they've needed to fix ever since they launched the game. Or, sorry, more like your file library. Because it's MCC has never had a large library for custom games.
It's better than it was at launch, at least, but it's still lacking a lot of useful features.
Well, yeah, it's better than it was at launch, because I think at launch you can only keep like 25.
Period.
Yeah.
And there is just the way to share it is still a little difficult. Like, share the files.
They need a proper browser for MCC, file browser, and it would be even better if they could bring it to the PC as far as, you know, like on the website.
It'd also be nice if the tool that they said they're working on that can do the map conversions from the old 360 titles to the new ones would maybe be available on the PC build of MCC.
Yeah, but until they fix how many maps you can store, there's really no point to it, because you run out of space so quickly.
True. That's true.
You know, you can't keep a library available. You would have to download them every time that you wanted to. So that means you have to go find the person, then you have to download the map and the game type, and then you can play it. And then, well, you want to play something else. Well, you got to delete something, and then you got to go find what you want to play, download it. It's irritating. And if you go through the trouble of converting a map, well, what happens to it when you delete it? Does it stay on your computer in, you know, like a save file, or do you have to re-download it and reconvert it to be able to play it?
So I guess it kind of would depend on how their file system works within MCC, because I'm assuming the files right now are synced to the cloud, right? So if you have so they're only local saves. So yeah, if you have the 20 limit, then I guess you need two things.
Right. One, now bigger... you can keep 50, okay. A total of 50 files.
Basically 12 per game. Or yeah.
And no, that's maps and game types.
Oh, never mind.
So you can keep 50 maps if they all use the same game type or use a built-in game type.
So I wonder if they have something that they can change in the architecture to do the bookmark type of storage per se that they have in Halo 5, where if there's
I honestly don't like the bookmark system. I really don't like the bookmark system. I liked the way Halo 3 and Halo Reach and Halo 4 did it. You just downloaded it and you kept it right there on your Xbox, because load times were so much better when the information's right there.
But the thing is,
because regardless, you're still having to send the map information back over the net to the clients, you know, to everybody else that's playing, to, you know, so their Xbox knows what's going on.
But if you select the game type, you have to send all of that data from the client to
you. Regardless, you still do, because when you select the game and game type, your Xbox has got to tell everybody else's Xbox what you're doing. You're sending that information anyway. So what's the difference between picking something, then your Xbox has to download it off the internet because it's not stored locally. Then it has to re-upload everything to all their other Xboxes. That sounds a little inefficient to me.
No, that's not what it's doing. It's telling the server to reference a specific map and game mode, and then the server's actually what's pushing it down. If you had the client...
There's no dedicated servers for custom games.
No, but you have the server still pushing down the actual file information
to your Xbox, and then your Xbox has to tell all the rest of the people in the game that what you're doing. So
if you're on Bobby Dad, you know how long that would take to load.
How long did Halo 3 custom games take to load?
How Any old is them? Halo 3?
Okay, how long did custom games in Halo 4 take to load?
How old is Halo 4? It's using a different architecture than Halo 5 is.
Halo 5 is built on the same engine.
But they massively overhauled how they reference assets in Halo 5. The way they reference assets is very different.
It still could work.
Technically, yeah, it could work, but the experience would probably not be as good.
Well, my biggest with Halo 5 is there's absolutely no freaking way to organize what you have.
Well, there is that.
If I had that, I probably wouldn't hate the bookmark system so much. You know, if I could just sort the damn files.
Yeah. Sort it by date, bookmark, alphabetize it, or have a way to, like, if you have a map selected, or be able to pair a map in the game mode together. That way, when you select the map, it automatically selects the game mode.
That would be nice.
Based on the creator, yeah. That's something that actually needs to be in Infinite. Have the ability for a map creator to specify a default game mode for a map.
Well, that works for the custom wacky games, like, you know, Husky Raid or Super Fiesta or something like that. But when you have a competitive map that supports Slayer, Flag, Assault, Strongholds, you can't really do that.
Well, you're not limiting it. All you're doing is setting the default.
No.
It's like when you load a map, load this mode by default. That's not restricting you from choosing a different mode. So, like, well,
right.
That would just be, I think, helpful from a customs game perspective, and that wouldn't affect the competitive. It just default to Slayer every time, HTS Slayer, and then you just have to go and pick Capture the Flag or Oddball or whatever.
I'm just a big fan of storing stuff locally.
I think there are certain pros and cons to that, but I think there's probably some architecture decisions that were made that if we had open access to the person who actually came up with the system, there might be some reason behind it. I'm
guessing.
They
tried something new. You know, that's a lot of what Halo 5 was. They tried a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, and a fair chunk of it is improvements.
It's because they want to improve the game, which is fine. You know, for the most part, they did. But, you know, it's stuff like screenshots and videos. Film. And this is Xbox in general. I would still like them to store on my Xbox and not on a cloud server somewhere.
That would be nice, actually. Having the ability to have that save film locally.
That's something Halo 5 sorely needs, is to save the film locally like it used to.
Well, so that might be another thing where, because the server is authoritative, that might be something where, for matchmaking games, you can, like, choose to download the film. It's like, you know how you have the latest 25 and you have the chance to, like, save one? Maybe that also saves it locally onto your Xbox, but also keeps a copy in the cloud for if you go to a different Xbox and you want to re-pull down that film. And the theater system itself needs kind of an overhaul. They've gradually stepped backwards.
They need to take what they have, throw it in a trash can, and start over.
I'm sure Receptor would be happy about those kinds of changes, right?
And theater needs to be included in all aspects of the game.
Yes, not just multiplayer.
In all modes. But anyway, we're way off topic now. But anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
I mean, if we wanted to make montages for our game nights, then it would be relevant, right? Which at some point it'd be nice to do.
Don't say that word.
Promotional video. How about that?
Don't even say that, because I ain't doing it.
I'm not saying that you would have to do it. I'm just saying in general, it'd be nice to have one.
When I was doing those, people have no idea. It would take me a week to do one video.
Oh, yeah.
I would literally sit down at the computer for 4 or 5 hours a night going through clips.
Yeah.
To just make a highlight reel for, 2-3 minutes?
you gotta get people to just send them to you, and you just take the clips and drop them in. Like, there's no point to go through full films. That just,
well, yeah, see, that'll that's kill your week it. Right there. You know, I was asking people to do that, but they weren't doing it. And so in order to get the video, I would have to go review everybody's footage from the locally saved file on my Xbox 360. Find something that was worthy of putting in the video, get the camera angle set up, get the timing right, and, you know, then record the clip. And then I would have to, once I got the clip recorded, then I would have to set up and actually capture the clip.
Yeah, it's a pain. Definitely a pain. All right, so that was our Frackin' Friday stream review.
Okay, that is rant number one.
Right. For my achievement stream with Laird, we did continue our run on Halo Wars Definitive Edition. We're playing on the Xbox. We got through four new missions. So we did Arcadia Outskirts, and we got through, I forget what the name of the mission is, but it's where you kill all the, like, there's the five flood hive things, and you have to rescue a mega team to bring it back. Forgetting the name of it. Looking it up as we speak. So, but we got through four missions, and we have six left. And the plan was to try to get them all done by E3. I don't think that's quite going to happen unless we get some major work done this coming weekend. Are you
doing Awakening the Nightmare?
No. This is Halo Wars Definitive Edition.
Oh, Halo Wars. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought, for some reason, I thought you were on Halo Wars too. I wasn't paying attention.
So we got through the flood. I think that's the mission that we got through. Yeah, because we did Dome of Light. Dome of Light was our first one, and then we ended on the flood. So we did four missions this last Sunday. So next week is basically my last week before E3, because I will be leaving Sunday morning to actually be in LA. So basically this coming weekend is this coming weekend.
This Sunday might be a long stream.
Well, it's this Sunday, then the Sunday after. So two Sundays to finish the game.
Three missions each. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. So we'll see what happens. We definitely plowed through those, Laird. So thank you again for helping. Super early morning. No, super early Sunday morning is wife going to church and me getting ready to go to church. But yep, that'll be happening again on Sunday. You get back streaming with the wife on Halo 2 campaign as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just been busy and other things have gotten in the way.
Well, summer break's coming up, so.
Yes, that's true. All right, moving on to some Halo news. Over on the Waypoint front, we have HBO turning 20 years old.
Woohoo!
So Frankie put out a post over on the Waypoint website and kind of going through some of his memories and fond times of working with HBO and all it's done for the community. There's a piece of artwork that was done by, who was it? Leviathan. Levi Hoffmeyer. He was the one that also did Fistful of Arrows. So it's cool to see him do a piece of artwork. Frankie also references the artwork that was done for HBO, I want to say, at least 7-8 years ago. But it has a logo of the key ship, a halo, and then half of Master Chief and half of the Arbiter. And it says, this ring will make us brothers. That design was also done by Leviathan. And there's a few pieces down in the rest of the article with some pictures of lands that were hosted, quads in most of those as well. So it's just a testament to the first and original Halo community being HBO and everything that it's done to foster Halo community growth since its inception. If anyone has a chance to meet Claude at all, He is a really nice guy, really down to earth, and is very helpful and just really supporting of the community in general. He is the godfather of the Halo community, hands down.
We probably started playing Halo at the same time. Me and Claude.
Possibly. Right.
Pretty close to it.
That's very possible. So, just if I don't even know if Claude would be listening to this, probably not. But in case you are, Claude, thanks again for all the support that you gave Podtacular early on in our inception. I know I wasn't around when it first started, but I know in talking with Fumo and Spellcheck and JVB, they're all very thankful of the support that you gave them and have given us to be where we are today. And your friendship has been very memorable and helpful to us. And we just thank you for the work that you've done and continue to do for the Halo community. And it's going to be hopefully another wonderful 20 years if Halo keeps on going for that much longer.
I hope so. They have to finish this saga.
That's funny.
Well, they did it. They changed it from a trilogy to a saga.
No, you're right.
So that means at least 10 more games.
I have a sneaking suspicion that Infinite could be the conclusion, if not very key on the start of the conclusion of the Master Chief saga. I don't know. It's hard to say, but
I'm sure there are certain
could be
voice actors that would like to retire.
Yeah.
Completely.
Well, they'll just synthesize it all. They have enough dialogue where they could probably just generate a voice that's nearly identical, and
so most that's people worked wouldn't be able to tell so the well in the in the past.
I mean, it's not perfect, but technology gets better every year. So who knows? By the time he's done, maybe you just pay him royalties. It's like, we're just going to use your voice. Okay, how much you want? 20% of the revenue. Okay.
Don't think I don't know how much, that would work. Hey.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I guess I'm thinking like 20%.
I wouldn't argue with it.
20% goes to the voice actors as a whole or something. I don't know.
That's like still a sizable chunk.
I was just pulling a random number out of thin air. So.
No kidding. Talk about random.
So, again, Claude, thanks for all you've done. And for all those that have helped Claude along the way, thanks for everything that you've done. And it's going to hopefully be continuing to be another good 20 years, however many more years to come.
Thanks for all you've done.
Moving on to the community spotlight for this week. It actually came out well ahead of schedule. It was out before I left work.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Sam, for posting that out. We really, really appreciate it because we actually had a chance to look over it today.
Yeah, it's nice to actually have some time to really absorb it, not cram it in as we're recording.
So thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We got a lot of really cool kind of new stuff in here, too. There's some pixel artwork in here that we haven't really seen much before. There's a lot more hand drawing items in here. A lot more.
This very first one almost looks like it was done in crayon. It was colored pencil, but it kind of almost just the way it lays on the paper looks like crayon.
And it's incredible.
Yeah.
This is an honor guard. What? Spec Ops Elite? Would that be the silver?
No.
What's the class?
Ultra.
Ultra. Thank you.
Elite Ultra.
Elite Ultra, done by Silvercrest01 over on Reddit. And it looks really good for a pencil drawing. Really, really good. The medieval video that I mentioned a couple weeks ago made it in here. So that was pretty cool. We have a couple of energy sword concepts done by Man of Indigo.
They look pretty wicked.
Yeah. One is called End of Night and Rage of Kaidans. And they're the same model. They're just colored differently. But
yeah, one of them's more like the blood one in Halo 2. The blood red one.
Yeah, and then the other one's orange, kind of similar to the Prophet's
Bane color. Almost a golden color.
We've got some really nice renders in here, which those always look stunning. Actually, I'm going to reach out to a couple of them this weekend for a particular project event happening in a month, which I will talk about here in our community section. Let's see. Another notable drawing that I really like is the one by Luigi Punch over on Reddit again. This one is the Infinite Ring, and he took different pieces from the Infinite trailers. So there's the stone rings that are kind of broken, and there's one of the pulse towers in the background, mountain ranges, trees. There's a Spartan on a mongoose in the middle of it instead of a hog.
Red Spartan.
A red Spartan. Imagine if that was something to turn into, or like a spiritual successor to Blood Gulch. That would be crazy.
Which Blood Gulch did make it into this one as well. So,
It did. Let's see. Anything else as far as the drawings? I know there's a lot of good ones on here, but those are kind of the ones that stick out to Promethean me, other than the pixel art.
Good. Somebody did a Promethean, probably like a Promethean soldier.
Is that like what, halfway down? Or oh, there it is.
Yeah.
That's a very kind of like a cross anime style.
Looks like it's done in like a watercolor, maybe. I don't know. It's just kind of got a odd coloration to it.
Yeah. The tweet doesn't really say what he did it with. But I could see where, it's not a computer piece. It doesn't look like it's, it could be computer art. It could be
something like it could be generated by, computer or something you did in Paint or Photo. I don't
know. Yeah. That could be Paint.
But still, it's pretty good.
Given the stuff that Erikibu has done in Paint, there's a lot you could do in Paint. Yeah, that one's pretty cool. Someone drew a Master Chief helmet using mathematical equations.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
That's over my head.
And that one in and of itself is kind of out there.
Yeah, beyond my grasp.
Yeah,
I never made it that far in math.
I mean, you could figure it out.
1 + 1 is 5. Oh.
It's I don't think it's calc 1 if it is even into the calculus range. Yeah, that's pretty cool. It looks like it's a total of 46 different equations with limits to those equations to bound the lines being drawn. Still pretty cool. One of the more, I think, unique ways to create art that I've seen so far.
Mather Chief.
That's good. I like it. Mather Chief.
Oh, that's what they call it. Mather Chief.
Oh, that is what she called it. I didn't even notice that. Because I was looking at the actual Reddit post and it's just Master Chief Math. But yeah, I didn't even notice that before.
Yeah, and below that you have Halo characters done in South Park style.
I was wondering what that style was.
I don't know what the official style is, but it's the same way they draw the South Park characters.
Right.
That's funny. Originally it was paper puppets, so.
Well, now it's probably computer generated.
Oh, yeah. It's been computer generated for several years because at the rate they have to churn those episodes out, originally it would take them a month to shoot one episode, I think is what it was, with the paper puppets. Because it was basically stop motion.
Right. Yeah. What else we have? Cortana. Yeah, the watercolor Cortana, which is pretty nice. The Brute Spartan armor concept is really, really cool. This one is designed by Pickled Gear. And this is actually for an actual cosplay design, which is supposed to be worked on by Demonic King 101.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, the first thing that jumped in my head was Shogun.
I have actually not even seen it.
Samurai.
I know of the name. I don't really know much of what it is.
It's a movie, and it's about samurais.
Okay.
It's an old movie.
Gotcha.
So you gotta be, you almost have to be an old weird fart to know about it.
Fair enough. There's little notes on here that he's written down on just some cosplay considerations. Because obviously, you can't exactly cosplay the armor as it is in the game because there's clipping and other pieces of armor will go into the model or the undersuit, that kind of stuff. So it's...
No, they make allowances for that, don't they?
There's some creative liberties a lot of cosplayers have to take in order to have armors be functional.
I was watching Hidden Xperia's, he was doing the lore behind all the different Reach armor sets. And, you know, of course he had video of it and you could see the chest plate going through the bicep and the shoulder plate moving through the chest. And it was bad.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I still need to watch that video. It definitely makes a difference, especially with cosplay. We got some more sketches, which are really cool. We got some cosplay from, where was this event? I thought they said on there somewhere where the event was. Oh, MegaCon. So some of the 405th members were out in armor. So that's pretty cool. We've got some other cosplay gear. So we've got a lit up carbine. We've got a helmet being worked on. Someone made the Nornfang. Someone did an assault rifle. Someone did a 3D print of a shotgun that's still in the works. And then there's more tattoos to go around, screenshots, clips, montages, lots of montages this week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some...
There's an instructional video there for how to learn to flick shot. So yeah, if you want to know.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for me.
Yeah, that's not going to happen for me either.
And then it looks like Sam's actually taken some of clips submitted by folks and have put it on a YouTube channel that she has going to post some of these clips now. I don't know if she's planning to do anything with that down the road, but if she's going to spotlight stuff over there, it might be worth the subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a piece in here about Forge Hub's Husky Raid contest, which we're going to skip and talk about that when we get to the community section. But I think that kind of gets through most of the stuff. And then finally at the bottom, we have John Wick in Spartan armor.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves in Spartan armor. No.
Why not?
You know, ever since I seen him in, what was it, Point Break? He just, every time I see him, I think surfer dude.
My first introduction. I mean,
even in the Matrix series, every time he opens his mouth, the first thing that comes into my head is surfer dude.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know.
Eric Kibu says John 117 Wick.
Yeah.
Well, or you just say John Wick 117. I think that fit. Yeah. My first introduction to him technically was Speed. But it really, he didn't really make an impression on me until The Matrix.
Oh, my first introduction to him was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I'm actually curious to watch that now because of them coming back and doing a sequel to that.
A sequel to the sequel?
Or I guess, yeah.
Or a remake.
No, I think it's a continuation of the story from what I've
seen online. So Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure 3?
think so. I think it's an interesting
premise for a movie, and the way they pulled it off, it was funny. But there's a limit to how much you can push that button.
Sure. I'm wondering if it's going to be somewhere along the lines of Dumb and Dumber, as far as like kind of pushing that envelope. I still haven't
watched that movie.
I haven't. I don't really plan to. I couldn't get
past the previews.
I can't either. The concept of that is just a little too ridiculous for me. The reason I'm interested in Bill and Ted is because I actually really enjoy Keanu Reeves as an actor.
I tell you what.
Me personally.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is a good movie. It's fun, especially if you haven't ever seen it before. Its replayability for most people is probably pretty limited. Like, I think I watched it two or three times, and I haven't watched it probably in 10 years.
Some movies are like that.
Because, you know, some movies just, you can rewatch them. And some movies you just can't.
Sure. No, I that makes sense.
I'm not saying he doesn't do good work. I mean, but it's just every time I see him, Surfer Dude pops in my head.
I can see that, especially with the haircut that he has for John Wick right now.
Well, I mean, even in Matrix, where he had slick back hair, real short, it's still Surfer. It's just something about his voice. It just.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't know. Yeah.
Just the way he talks.
That makes sense.
Dude. You know, it's just, I don't know.
Whoa.
Whoa.
No, I can totally see where you're coming from on that. For sure. Yeah, John Wick 1-7, that'd be, with how lethal he is in John Wick, he'd probably make a pretty lethal Spartan. Just don't kill his pet grunt.
Yeah, don't kill his pet grunt.
Maybe. Is that how we would take that, I guess?
Yeah, I wouldn't. We all saw what happened when they killed his dog.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so moving on from our news, we've got the latest social stream. Sam actually went in solo this time and was answering stream questions and playing in MCC. So if you had a chance to go over there and play, then hope you had a good time. We've got playlist updates in Halo 5. This week we have Roaming King rotating in for Halo 2 BR Slayer. And then on the MCC front, we've got some big team battle updates, as well as introducing Mayhem for Halo CE. So from Postum's update, we have, he says this, welcome to this week's playlist update for Halo MCC. Last week we introduced Mayhem for CE. This week's update includes some Mayhem tweaks and the introduction of big team snipers with an AVA team snipers preset in the social games menu. The details for this update, they removed Derelict and Longest Slayer and Battle Creek Siege from CE 8v8 Mayhem. They've added Rat Race, One Flag, CTF to CE Mayhem, and increased weighting of Battle Creek, Hang'em High, Slayer, and Rat Race, King of the Hill. They enabled 8v8 snipers and the BTB social matchmaking presets. CE maps include Sidewinder, Hang'em High, Boarding Action, Blood Gulch, Timberland. Halo 2 maps are Burial Mounds, Colossus, Sansabar, Coagulation, Headlong, Relic, Terminal, and Tombstone. Halo 2 Anniversary is Stonetown, Bloodline, and Remnant. Halo 3 is Sandtrap, Valhalla, Standoff, Rat's Nest, Avalanche, and Longshore. And Halo 4 is Longbow, Meltdown, Ragnarok, Harvest, Daybreak, and Perdition. So there you go. Updates for 8v8 snipers and 8v8 mayhem. Thanks, Postums. As for tweets that we have, we've got several to actually go through. Sketch posted a tweet out regarding whether or not people prefer to have information early as it's in development, or whether or not to wait for there's more final information. And out of over 3,000 votes currently in there. So there's another 21 hours left as of this recording. But as 3,000 votes, 71% of the people want early info that's not necessarily final versus 29% having later info when it is final. So basically people would like to know what's going on with the possibility that info could change later on.
That's interesting, because that's not exactly the way the community takes it.
Right. I was kind of thinking that,
you
know,
that's one of those questions. You damned if you do, or you damned if you don't.
Exactly.
Because if you give them early information, there are always people out there that take it completely out of context.
And they take it as gospel. It's like,
And then
it's like, that's not what that means.
Update the information, then they've got their mind so set on what you said before that they totally forget that you said that you fixed it. But, you know, I get it. You know, me personally, early is better. That way you can kind of give your feedback on maybe that's not the way you want to go.
Yeah.
You know, kind of one of those deals. If this is true, then you might want to do something different.
Well, and that's always going to be a judging of the, not like, so you got to judge the community where the community responds, basically. And I'm sure they try to do that. And there's times when it probably works just fine doing the early info and not final. And there's probably times where that might not be so appropriate.
Yeah.
And I think it also depends on what kind of information they're talking about. Obviously, if it's infinite news, then they're probably going to have that a lot more under lock and key until they have final details. But with something like MCC coming to PC, because MCC is already a product and they've been waiting,
they'll be a little looser with the information.
Right. So that might probably play into it as well.
Yeah, the infinite news probably, well, if you hear the infinite news, it's probably already set in stone or close to it.
Right. So I think that is probably my preference as well, is getting things early and not final. But I think you and I and other high profile community members are also in the mindset of, okay, we know it's early, so we know to take it with a grain of salt. Not everyone's like that, unfortunately.
There is a large part of the community that isn't like that.
Yeah. But it's just interesting. We'll have to see what the final results are. I'm assuming this is probably going to be close to what the final results will be, because this poll has been out there since Tuesday. So it's probably well balanced out by now. But yeah, 70% is early, 30% is later with kind of more final info. So I thought that was an interesting tweet to put in there.
Yeah, definitely shows what the community wants.
Yeah, it really does. Next tweet we have comes from the HCS Twitter account, and this is for some grassroots members playing in the Halo 5 Big Team Battle playlist this weekend for the refresh. This is going to be taking place on Friday, so unfortunately for those listening to us, download, be a little late, but this is going down on Friday, May 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. This is going to be hosted by Action Man, Nated, Stress JS. I didn't even know that was a grassroots member. Uber Nick and Vetoed. So if you have the chance to hop into Big Team Battle between probably 5 and 7-ish Pacific time, which is unfortunately like right in the middle of our game night, so you got 30 minutes right before our game night starts if you want to try to squeeze that in. Or if people want to do Big Team Battle to start the game night off with, you could give it a try. So there's that. But if you have a chance to match up with them, then you will get the HCS Grassroots skin code. So that's cool. For the next tweet, we have some more news about Halo Outpost Discovery. This one comes from John Friend, or Juan's Amigo, on Twitter. And he has a picture of some Outpost Discovery stuff under construction in Orlando. So a nice little tease there. And following up with that, we also have a new behind-the-scenes video over on the Halo Outpost Discovery website. And this is with Grim again at Studio 41B in Orlando, Florida. And we're taking a look at some of the production going into the laser tag arena and some of the cloth prints for some of the materials that are going to be there. So it's another partner that they're working with in order to make Halo Outpost all it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the stuff they put in there looks cool. And I'm glad they're doing this. Kind of gives you a little bit of behind the scenes look at, you know, the development of Outpost Discovery.
And it at least helps keep the interest there a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I really do hope this goes really well for them, because I think this would be a big plus for the Halo community.
I think so.
Because, I mean, you know, Halo really doesn't have that specific place to gather. You know, we gather at conventions, Comic-Cons. Yeah. We don't have kind of our own thing. So this, I hope this works out for them.
I hope so too. I really do. It is nice to see them doing this. I think it helps keep people engaged within and is like, okay, yep, they're still working on it. This isn't just a shot in the dark thing where they're firing and forgetting and just kind of keeping us in the dark. They're actually kind of getting us interested in showing, hey, this is some of the stuff going into the experience that you're going to see at these events.
Yeah.
And they want this to be successful because they want a reason to do it again and to possibly do a year two if that's in the works. I mean, it's all going to be based on whether or not they get good reception going through this year. I mean, from what I know, it sounds like they want to do a year two if they can manage it, but it's all up to how well it's received, how many attendees go. We did get the tweet a couple weeks ago that all the VIP passes for Orlando were at least sold out, so that's hopefully a good sign.
Yeah. It needs to pay for itself.
It does.
Be honest, it's got to pay for itself. And yes, they want to make money off of it, which I can't blame them.
But I don't think anyone can.
You know, I really do hope the community is able to embrace this and really enjoy it and make it something that they want to do every year.
Yes. Hopefully it's something that turns into like a Destiny Con or Blizzard Con or BlizzCon, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We're rooting for you guys. We really are.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it'd be nice for GT to go to one of that at some point. You just can't get there this year. So hopefully keep doing more years and we can get GT there. Yeah? Come on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Definitely. You know, and, you know, if you can get it where it's a day trip to people, they're more likely to go. Or, you know, an overnight trip, I should say, you know, where they only have to do a hotel room for one night or something like that. That makes it a lot more attainable for more of the audience. And if you're able to move it around from state to state, you know, not all in the same year, but year after year, then you can eventually cover the United States. Because I know there's enough venues across the United States to where you can get it within an overnight trip of most people in the United States.
Well, their issue this year was size.
Like I said, there's enough large venues where they could set this up across the nation where you could get it within a reasonable, you know, an overnight stay distance for, you know, most people. I'm not saying they'll stay the whole weekend, but at least they'll, you know, maybe buy a Friday or Saturday pass. Or, you know, they can, you know, make it a weekend trip.
Well, and maybe based on what happens this year, maybe they'll downsize it a little bit or consolidate a couple of things. So that's always a possibility.
That can make it where it could be available in more venues. It's like, you know, here in Kansas City, we have two structures that are capable of supporting it as is. You know, we have two venues that are 300,000 plus square feet. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a tight fit, but it could go in there. So, you know, that's just, you know, that's 20 minutes away from me.
Right.
Matter of fact, that would probably be the only reason that I go downtown anyway. I didn't lose anything downtown.
Right. So that's it for the behind the scenes that we got on Outpost Discovery so far. I'm assuming there's going to be a lot more, but I think that's all the official stuff that I was able to find before we started tonight. Another thing that's kind of Xbox related, since it is Mixer, is the Mixer matchups that are happening. This is a little thing that Mixer is putting on to get people to go to E3 and have a possibility of winning some money in the process. So
money,
there's
money,
a week.
Money.
So right now there are three different games that they're doing in the road to E3. So the first game was last week and it was League of Legends. This week is Halo 5 Guardians. And next week is going to be Paladins Champions of the Realm. And I believe the top players from all three of those weeks are going to be invited out to E3 to play at the Mixer Dome. And then there is, top 10 overall are invited to play in the final round at E3 2019. They'll get tickets to E3, the Microsoft briefing, and Xbox Fan Fest. And there's also top 50 players per week earn $500 cash each.
Ooh.
And then there's also a weekly prize pool of $25,000 in Mixer Embers. I don't think that's necessarily one person. I think it's just like a total. That's the pool size.
Mm-hmm. To be distributed.
That's happening right now. And I actually know several people that have been streaming, including Keys, playing for that. And the determining factor for the top players in Halo 5 is kills, obviously.
So I will not be competing in that.
And that's kills for, I think it's like 4v4 stuff. And no, I haven't been competing in either, so. But that's going on, and it, since it's kind of Xbox related, I just want to toss it out there.
It is. It's related. Second cousin twice removed.
Yeah. There you go. So we don't have a topic this week, but we're going to go through all of the community updates. So first one we have is from AGLA. They have kicked off their Spring League 2019 Draft League this past week. And the first matchup was streamed, and there's some highlights from it. It was between In Mungo We Trust and Hypefest. 5-3 going to In Mungo We Trust. So you can check on that over on playgriffball.com. Forge Hub has announced their Husky Rage Forge contest winners. There were lots of honorable mentions in here. Knockyard apparently did three different maps. Unsorted Gaming did two different maps. And there's some other repeat names in here. We've seen a couple of them on Twitter and YouTube before, probably coming across your feeds depending on who you follow. And the top three are M808B Production. The description on this one is, M808B Production is set on a UNSC Scorpion factory and provides us with one of the most meticulously crafted and detail-rich human environments in the contest. The abundance of metal framing, pipes, and other accents helps set the tone to make a convincingly gritty industrial atmosphere. The central hallway is one of the map's most defining characteristics, featuring scripted doors that screech like nails on a chalkboard as they grind their way open, reminding players of the imminent danger ahead. The exterior views are just as impressive as the interior areas of the map, as tanks are seen moving along an assembly production line with mechanical arms soldering together machine parts. Ooh, that'd be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I think I'd have to go in and modify that to make the screechy go away.
I guess it depends on how loud the screechy is.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see on that one. Second place was Dominus. This one takes place on an Imperial Star Destroyer engaged in active combat against distant rebel ships. Harry McCleary gives us one of the most skillfully crafted themes. The interior hallways of the spaceship display clean and precise object usage with well-defined structures that articulate the space in all the right places. A sense of geometric cohesiveness is imbued on the space as triangular windows, angular doorways, and other structural assets complement each other nicely. An epic space battle can be seen outside of these triangular windows as live turrets are scripted to fire across to distant ships. For an experience that is truly out of this world, we are highly recommending this map and congratulate the author for creating one of the best experiences in the contest. And then first place is Traverse by Unsorted Gaming. I'm actually surprised because this was a pretty early entry. He had this video out probably within, I want to say, 2-3 weeks of the contest. So I'm pretty impressed to see this one actually make it to be the first place entry. Description is, Traverse is set on a four-window structure overlooking a large valley with spires and outposts decorating the horizon, creating one of the strongest theme maps in the contest. The architectural elements are carefully placed in a way that balances both interior and exterior spaces evenly, with the skybox art being one of the most defining characteristics of the map. Unsorted Gaming took inspiration from Halo Infinite's engine demo trailer to comprise the artistic direction of the overall shape of the natural landscape. The stylization of the forerunner geometry retains a sense of minimalism that harkens back to the classic styles as well. We left so many submissions from the contest, but ultimately felt this map delivered the best overall package that made it rise to the top. So congratulations to Unsorted Gaming.
Just the amount of detail that he puts on the outside of the map. It's not even part of the play space.
Well, all three of these have something going on the outside of the map.
Well, I mean, this, he has a phantom flying across the screen like 6 miles away. You know, where the phantom looks like it's about 2 inches long. You know, that stuff's weird, wild. I mean,
it's
just the amount of detail put into it is awesome. And they all did a awesome job. Even the honorable mentions and the runners up.
Yeah, I don't see us not playing the honorable mentions, runner ups, and all the other placings because they all look really good in their own right. And it's even some of the other picks too. Like Harmony looks pretty nice.
We may have to do a Husky raid night some night.
Stand Clear looks interesting. I wonder if the trains are animated in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think while we were on Breaker before the show, you mentioned Ant Farm looked pretty interesting.
Yeah. It's just an interesting design of a map. It's literally a ant farm. You know, just like, you know, the one you see sitting on the desk, two pieces of plexiglass with dirt in the middle. And that's exactly the way they've built it. If as far as the shape, it's kind of the inverse of Metaraid. Instead of going down, you go up and over a hill from base to base. But yeah, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it really is. So congrats to all the winners and to Unsorted Gaming for taking the top. That's, you deserve it. Forge Hub is also asking people for what they want the community to see next. There's a Twitter poll happening right now, and they're asking if people would like to see Infection, Doubles, Big Team Battle, or Head-to-Head. It says 2 days. I don't know if that means it's going to be on Saturday or Sunday where this poll ends, but if you have a chance to go check it out, depending on when this podcast comes out, go over and vote. I think with the Big Team Battle refresh already taking place, I don't think we necessarily need more Big Team right now.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings.
No. I would probably lean towards maybe Doubles and Head-to-Head or Head-to-Head.
Yeah. I mean, with Head-to-Head coming up, I think it's coming up in the rotation here pretty soon. It wouldn't be bad to get some new maps. You know, they've gone through and updated all the maps to fix some problem areas, but you know, it's nice to rotate in some fresh maps.
Sure. Right now, Big Team Battle is leading the vote with 43%, followed by Infection and Double is pretty close.
It's Big Team Battle is pretty popular.
Oh, sure. And with the refresh, too, it's getting a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So if you have a chance to go vote, do so over on Forge Hub's Twitter. That's where you'll find that. We have an update for Installation 01 from their weekly update on May 12th. There's really cool screenshots of a reimagination of Battle Creek, or Frostbite, as it's being called. And it's a Arctic remake of Battle Creek, which looks incredible. In the map, or in the, not in the map, in the article, they talk with Bitterbones? Yeah, Bitterbones, or Alan Wilson, who's currently a campaign level designer over at 343 working on Infinite. His previous job was a design director and 3D environment artist for Installation 01. So,
bonus.
Bean actually called him back to write about this map. So he's, he and looks like Praz is another person in here. I'm not sure who the exact both of them are. But it looks like both of them worked on the map together. Bitterbones working on a lot of the detail of the map. They talk about the design of the bases themselves, some of the textures that they worked on, and some of the other art, like the stone archway, some of the ramps, and some of the other effects like rocks, ice stalactites, boulders, that kind of stuff. So it looks amazing. It really does.
I mean, it looks like a map that you would find in Halo.
It really does. And Bitterbone said he took a lot of notes from Halo Reach's Battle Canyon and some of the design changes that they made there. But this is a pretty good short article on the overall concept to implementation of designing a map.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's a map that's already been made, but it's still it has a lot of bits and pieces in here on how they went about designing the textures, doing the base layouts, all the geometry that goes into it, the lighting effects, reflections, a lot of other little pieces, and how they kind of built it piece by piece. So overall, it's a really cool look at how they designed the map Frostbite.
Yeah, it's they did really well. I'm very impressed.
It looks like it belongs in Halo. It really does. Soon needs to come quicker. It really does. Can't take it anymore. People need to see this and play it.
Must have
Frostbite and other Installation 01. We have a tweet coming out from the SPV3 team. They have a new tentative update schedule on SPV3 updates. So on June 25th, they're going to feature 6 new missions and bring significant upgrades and fixes to the 11 previous missions. 6 new missions, dang. That's a lot. They already got the 10 base ones, plus what was the extended one they did? Assault in the Control Room extended?
Actually, I think there was 2 of them.
So there were 10 default maps in
Halo. No, I think there was 2 extended missions.
Right, so why is he saying only 11? Maybe that's a typo. Anyway, there's 6 new missions coming. And then on for SPV3.3, they will launch by the end of August and will bring single-player firefight to SPV3.
Be interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I thought that was one of the things that they were struggling with in making sure that the AI movement matches between one client to another. So I wonder if they kind of figure that out. I'll have to have Masters on to talk about those updates. I think he said he wanted to be on at some point too, this summer. There's a note to that they've added since making that original announcement. They've come to the decision that they're not going to ship SPV 3.2 with skulls that were previously available. The existing skulls and more will be added to the firefight update, and this will allow for better tests of the project, as well as refining and add skulls that are integral to firefight. So cool. And then Jafet Mitsa also responded to the update for the schedule and said that the SPV 3 original and remastered soundtrack 2.0 will be released sometime between the SPV 3.2 release and the SPV 3.3 release.
Cool.
I need to get back on and play through that campaign. See what they've done. That assault on the control room, or not assault on the control room, the silent cartographer mission is really long, though.
Yeah.
Like, more than double the length of the original mission. Next update we have is from Operation Trebuchet. I don't think they really post a lot of their updates on social media, so I'm pulling this directly from their Discord, unfortunately. So you got to go over to their Discord to find out what's going on. But in light of all the assets that they had to stop using because of the issues that we've talked on previous episodes, they've been hard at work on redesigning some of the, or remodeling some of the stuff that they've had to, unfortunately, let go of. They've got some work in progresses for Pelican Pilot helmets in there. They have some new Banshees with some lighting if they're in a dark space. They've got an updated BR that they're working on. They've also got the... What's the space-worthy Banshee called? Like in outer space, is there a specific name for that Banshee, or is it just a Banshee?
It's still a Banshee. It has a different serial, or, you know, different number of designation.
Gotcha. Yeah, but they have those Banshees in the works. They've also got some structural pieces that they're working on, missile pods, chain guns. It looks like they have a early work in progress of the, what's the ship that you pilot in Halo Reach?
The longsword?
No. Reach.
Saber.
They've got an early work in progress of that. And a couple other paneling and structural things that they're working with as well. So they're hard at work at coming out with new models for things. No updates from Project Contingency this week. No updates from Corral either. Also no updates from Precursors Legacy or Sins of the Prophets either. And that Project Cartographer update that I have in there is actually old as well, so I'll take that out. Some miscellaneous stuff for us to make note of. DJ Blue, who is the... Wow, I'm blanking on this title for Halo Outpost Discovery. He's the event planning coordinator for Halo Outpost Discovery. On his stream over the next few weeks leading up to Outpost Discovery, he's going to be giving away passes to Outpost Discovery on his stream. So if you want to head on over to mixer.com/DJBluePDX and check him out on his stream, he's going to be giving away a pass to Halo Outpost Discovery.
I'm betting they're not VIP passes.
I don't think they are. They're probably just
general admission.
Right. Go check them out, because that's not a bad offer, especially if you're on the fence of going, and if the thing that tips you over the fence is the ability to get a pass, then yeah. So starting this Sunday, this coming Sunday, which will be May 26th, you will be giving away one pass each weekend for Halo Outpost Discovery.
Would be nice if it was a pair of passes so you could take a friend. I get it.
I'm sure there's only so many that he can just give out.
Well, I know. But, I mean, if you're only talking 5 weeks, that's 10 people.
Right. Got that little bit from DJ. And our last bit of community-related news, Halo Bowl 3 is on.
Mm-hmm.
The actual 3, not the 3 that we did back in December.
Not 2.5, this is actual 3.
Right, this is actual 3. So we have 8 podcasts partaking. So we have the returning 6 from December. So that is Let's see if I can do this off the top of my head. Podtacular, Podcast Evolved, HCS Pro Talk, Drunken Halo, Gaming Under Fire, which was Bad at Halo show before, and Halo Conversationalists. I got those six. And then we're adding two new ones. The first one we're adding is the Captain's Report. So this is done by a kind of a hodgepodge of different people from the cosplay scene to the developer scene. R93 Sniper, who's been on our shows, but is a part of that. So they're coming on as our first new podcast, and our second one is HCS Weekly. They've recently started a podcast talking about weekly HCS news, and both of those podcasts are rounding us out to an even eight for the tournament. So the style is going to be round robin pool placing for the first half of the tournament, and then the second half will be taking the top two teams from both pools, putting them into a bracket, and then a double elimination bracket up to the end. Games are best out of three up to the grand finals, which is going to be best out of five. So that'll be exciting. Our team is consisting of the same team it's been for the past now 3 years. It's myself, Keys, Confal, and Bobby. And this will be taking place on June 22nd, which is a Saturday, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We're doing this again for Gamers Outreach, which is a charity that helps benefit or helps children in hospitals. Gamers Outreach helps build what they call go-karts, which are portable gaming stations, which are built to medical standards to where kids can have Xboxes or PlayStations carted around to their room so they can play video games and help ease the, for lack of better words, reality of having to be in the hospital. So we're doing it for a good cause. Our target for this year is to fund one go-kart to get $4,000. We were able to do that in year two. Last year, technically, we raised approximately $1,800. So over the course of the last 3 years, we've raised $7,500, and we're looking to raise $4,000 this year to fund one full cart. So please get the word out there. We really want to send this out with a bang this year and really kind of kickstart this again to where we can keep doing this year after year. The URL that you can find the campaign at is bit.ly/halo-bowl-3, and that's all lowercase. And again, we'll be tweeting this out and putting it on social media, but Halo Bowl 3 is coming, and we are excited to be doing this again. We're excited to have two new podcasts on it to round it out, and we hope that people can come support the charity and also watch some just good, fun, competitive Halo between eight different Halo podcasts.
Can't wait.
We're going to get our butts kicked again.
Well, you know, if somebody would practice, it might not be so bad.
Even with practicing, there's
it might be a little less painful.
Yeah, it'll be a little less painful for sure. Unfortunately, with Bobby's schedule, it's kind of killed our midweek practicing a little bit. So we're going to have to resort to weekends. So we'll be trying to get together at some point this weekend to start practicing again. We were practicing back in January and February, but we haven't practiced for a couple months. So we need to get back on that.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, you need to stay up with it and go into, you know, Rumble and, you know, just focus on your tactics as well, you know, taking on the individual players.
Right.
To keep your skills at whatever your peak is.
Unfortunately for me, my peak fluctuates from day to day.
Yeah.
I could be on fire one day, and then the next day I'm just complete crap.
Yeah, me too. I have those moments. But on average, I'll have decent days more than I have crappy days.
Yeah.
You know, days where I'm satisfied with the way I was playing and not just totally pissed off because I'm getting matched with people that I don't think I should be playing against. You know, some of that, you know, depending on the playlist you're playing, is population of the playlist at that particular moment. Because there's only so much the skill-based matchmaking can do with a limited pool.
Correct. And that's been a heavy complaint from the community for a little while now.
Well, it's just more people need to play. And when there's not a big enough pool, then there's nothing 343 can do about it.
Yep. It's all depends on what the population is, and 343 can only do so much.
Mm-hmm. The matchmaking system they have people to play is probably the fairest matchmaking system they've had in the history of Halo. Don't get me wrong. I get matched against people that I feel I shouldn't be, but that could be just basically because the, you know, a limited player pool at that moment that it picks the players for that game.
Yeah. And it's to that point. Last week I hopped on Friday morning just for a little bit to try to find a game in Warzone Assault, and it found nobody. And I was searching for 30 minutes and it found nobody.
You know, it's just
for a double XP playlist.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to get up that early, Dust.
I guess not. So that wraps it up for us tonight. We do have an update on our Spartan company. We did get another company commendation completed.
Woohoo!
We got killing an enemy Spartan with a melee. We finally got that one completed. So now we are 18 out of 31. One step closer to getting that Achilles helmet.
Baby steps.
That happened.
Baby steps.
Yes. Baby steps. Baby steps. So our next two to get is From Downtown, which is killing an enemy Spartan from a long distance. We currently have about 450 of those to go. Next one is Lawnmower, which is splatters, and we have a little under 900 to go there. And then the one after that is First Strikes, which we have about 2,500 to go there.
Castle Wars coming up at the end of the month.
Ooh, that's right. That'll be good for some splatters.
Grab them hogs.
That first kill of match, so that's... There's not exactly anything we can do to grind for that. That's just...
Well, it's sheer luck, you know, that you get the first kill.
Or you just team up and then you're guaranteed that you get at least a kill. Like, one of you gets the first kill if your team gets the kill, at least.
Yeah.
I wonder what the over-under on that is if you had like, if you had four people, if they went in together to try to get first strikes versus like splitting up.
As long as they're all part of the same company, it doesn't matter who actually gets the kill.
Right.
Just as long as they get the first kill. So, you know, you could just all run in a pack and everybody shoot the same player.
No pressure. So, yeah.
And hopefully you can kill that one player before they kill one of you.
Exactly. That's all you gotta...
Or manage to kill all four of you because the magic grenade appears right in the middle of you. Yeah.
Boom.
Everybody loves the magic grenade.
Ace is like splatters, you say.
Out of nowhere.
Right. Grenade spam is real. It is real.
I swear those grenades teleport sometimes. I'm not joking.
Yeah. Sometimes they just come out of nowhere like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back in theater and sure enough, you just were not expecting it.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's just sheer just connection lag. You know, you just don't see the grenade coming towards you because the information gets lost in the ether. But yeah, it's...
Yeah.
I think there ought to be a giant red dot on your radar that pops up whenever a grenade gets within range, or maybe a giant strobing red dot so you'll notice it.
It's the kind of how I like to do it in Call of Duty.
I don't know. I don't play that game.
I doubt the pros would like it. There's a good chunk of pros that don't even like the pros.
I don't care. I just for the casuals.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, with the sensor technology in the Spartan outfits, you should be able to detect the grenade.
Yeah, they also should have a better, wider range than 15 meters. I'm sorry. The Halo 5 is the worst game to make that smaller. I could see it in Halo 3, even Halo 4. But Halo 5? The way you can cover ground in Halo 5? Shit, it should have been set to 50 meters.
I think that was intentional why they made it so small is because of the mobility.
It makes the radar useless.
Yeah.
Or motion sensor, sorry. It's not radar, it's motion sensor.
Right.
So, you know, at that point, you might as well turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point.
I mean, the idea of the motion sensor is to feed you information, but when the player can close the outer limit to you in the time that they can do that in Halo 5, something's wrong.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you, and that I was actually going to bring that up, as it sucks when someone can get from outside your radar to you in pretty much less than a second.
Well, in most cases, one thrust.
Yeah.
Or Spartan charge, or you know, whatever.
That's you know, you're right. That's true.
Because, you know, regardless of what they say, they didn't do as good a job with footsteps in Halo 5 as they did Halo 4.
Yeah, Halo 4 was very baggy as far as footsteps.
Yeah, but they were more noticeable. To me, at least. You could hear somebody coming up behind you, especially if they were sprinting. The thump was louder. You know, just like you would be louder if you were actually running. But it just seems like that in Halo 5, I don't hear footsteps like I used to. And when I do hear them, it turns out it's a teammate, not an enemy. It's like right. Your teammate's footsteps are louder than your enemy's footsteps.
Right. Yep. All those design decisions.
Fingers crossed for Infinite.
There's a lot gunning for it, but there is a lot.
I'm looking forward to see what they have for E3.
I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping there's enough, like not too much, but there's enough there to really whet our appetites and start kind of speculating on.
I would like to know, not necessarily the story, but I wouldn't argue with a hint, even if we have to kind of go look for the hint. But I would like to get an idea of which way they're going to go for multiplayer. You know, how close to Halo 5 is it going to be? Or if it's going to be something totally different than Halo 5, which I don't see that. I see it being similar to Halo 5. Not an exact duplicate, but similar.
I'm wondering if we'll see something multiplayer at all, E3. Just because of the fact that they have the Halo Insider flights on the docket for that.
Yeah, I think our odds of seeing something multiplayer are higher than actually seeing any real campaign detail, other than some type of generic trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, the multiplayer will be a lot more public than the campaign will. The campaign, I got a feeling they're going to hold it pretty close to their chest, and which they should, because by the time the game comes out, multiplayer, for the most part, is going to be figured out. I mean, don't get me wrong, there'll be changes that are made, but and there'll be stuff that's released that they didn't include in the testing phase, but people have pretty good idea what to expect from the multiplayer.
Right. My guess is they're going to probably, if they do Halo Nest will probably be a mix of Infinite, Halo Outpost Discovery, and maybe Halo TV show or some other thing that they're working with connected to Halo that they haven't really led onto yet. From an Infinite perspective, my guess is it'll probably be a focus on campaign and where the story, like the next step of the story is going, or how it kind of connects into Halo 5 and that kind of stuff. Like kind of starting to lead people as like, okay, this is like, you saw the engine capabilities, but this is kind of the direction we're taking the story without really revealing too much.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that much information.
Not even like a hint, you think?
Oh, we'll get hints, but they're going to be really vague. They're not going to come out and say, well, this is kind of the way we're going to go. They'll hint at it, and we'll have to figure it out. And in most cases, we probably won't even figure out the hint until the game launches. Because they're pretty good at that.
Well, I mean, in the past, they've talked a lot about the campaign setup for the game.
Yeah, but Infinite's a little different animal than the previous Halos.
Okay, that's a fair point.
I mean, this is pretty much a complete redesign of the game. It sounds, and all this is theory right now, the way they're talking about it, it could take Halo in a different direction. I'm not saying it's going to take it away from being the first-person shooter that it's always been, but it could add some other elements to it.
Okay.
And, you know, like I said, everything that's out there right now is rumor. There is nothing confirmed. But I highly expect that there will be, I'm not saying they won't talk about campaign, and we will see probably a campaign trailer, but it'll probably have very vague references to the story. And I'm talking Cloak Chief vague.
Right.
And, you know, that's,
I mean, we'll know in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So
I do kind of expect to hear something about the multiplayer testing.
I could see that. Yep.
You know, what kind of schedule they are looking at, like a more general time of when they look to start releasing, which I think they've already said something, and I thought it was like late June, July for the first group, but that could have changed as well.
Sure. Everything's still in flux right now.
Well, like I said, the game is still in development, so.
Yep, it is. All right, so that's going to be it for us tonight, unless you can think of anything else, GT, for us to cover before we wrap it up.
No, I'm having trouble keeping my eyes open, so I think we need to wrap it up.
All right, sounds good. Well, for those that listen to us live, thanks for tuning into our live streams. You can catch us live for the podcast on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We are on Twitch, Mixer, and YouTube. We also courtesy stream on Facebook and Twitter, or Periscope as well. We also have our Fragment Fridays, which is hosted by GT. That's happening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time Fridays. And then on Sundays, I have my Achievement Hunting stream, which is at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We also have our social media that you can check out. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Discord. You can also find us over on our Spartan Company and our Xbox Club. Basically, if you just search for Pod Tackler, you'll find wherever we live. Also, we have the latest loot crate announced. This is going to be for Noble. So leave that last lone wolf stuff behind and prepare for Noble. A Noble last stand on Reach with exclusive UNSC declassified gear, including a Halo Icons Noble 6 figure and more. What can we say? We aim to please. You can order by June 15th at 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time over at podtackler.com/loot crate. And if you use the code podtackler at checkout, you will get $3 off your crate. This is the last crate of this year, of year number 3. Nothing's indicating that they're stopping, so there will probably be a year 4. Not sure what to expect on that, but we will talk about that when we get to it. Critscast is on episode 490, so they're 10 away from their 500th episode. So we'll have to keep a track on that. And also make sure you check out the Halo Hub. It's a place for content creators and other community members that like to see other content to come together and share community creations. You can find that Discord server over at thehalohub.com. And I believe I covered everything. Oh, one quick thing. I am going to plan on doing a PodTechner meetup at the Houston Outpost Discovery. So if you are planning to go to Houston, then stay tuned. I am going to start looking into a possibility of doing a PodTechner meetup there, since Houston is my hometown. So keep an eye on that. Kind of putting the touches out there to see if I might do another city, but right now Houston is the one I'm going to try to do. So if you're planning on going, then stay tuned. We should have something more concrete within the next month or so. And that'll wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks everyone for checking us out. We'll catch you all next week. See ya.